There's only one thing missing I'd like to see. A great match.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a great match. I would love a great match on the pitch tonight.
Because you know that's our deal.
Well, we're going to have Michael Bradley on tomorrow. We had KJ on yesterday. And we got John Herdman.
We're going to change the name of the show to On the Pitch.
Yeah, Footy Talks. I love it. Hey, listen, man, you get a big win. First time in 34 years you beat the Americans. The country's going to pay attention to it. And I'll bet you our next guest, I mean, he's getting a lot of love. He should. 2-0 is 2-0 over a big side. Here he is, the head coach of the Canadian men's national soccer team, John Herdman, back on Overdrive. How you doing, John?
How are you, team? I'm all good down here.
Yeah, we're feeling good too, man. I mean, you still living the life 48 hours removed from a big win? Are you still dealing with the adrenaline and the buzz or what?
No, yesterday I was, but no, back at it. Back at it. I had a big run this morning and starting to get my ideas formed for the next one. That's the big game. The big game, the real big game's the next one when they're motivated and we're playing them on their soil. That's the one I've got to get these boys ready for.
How many Molson Canadians went down after that victory, John? A lot?
Yeah. Well, back at our hotel, there was a few getting sprayed around, I'm telling you that. And that's like, those moments, they're the best moments, you know, guys dancing around and just that euphoria. Oh, man, you can't beat it, eh? You can't beat winning. You cannot beat winning. Particularly after that Haiti loss, I know how it felt. What it felt in the hotel, what it felt like for 2 months after. My God. You know, to get that win, it felt good.
And as you pointed out, you guys will be down in Orlando next month playing against the Americans. They're going to be scarred from this win by you guys. Now they're going to be on their home soil, probably a packed house. How different of an attack would you expect out of the Americans next month?
Look, they'll come in motivated, very motivated. And, you know, their fans will be taking notice as well. Maybe at a certain point, not many fans would have turned up for that match against Canada, and I'm sure there'll be quite a few coming out to support their team now. So I just think it's a big game for us. That's, you know, we did the first test. Now the second test is, you know, when they're fully motivated and they're playing for pride and respect and all the things we were playing for, you know, can our players still, you know, put themselves in that fire and come out on top? And these are the tests we really want.
With John Herdman, the head coach of the men's national team, you came on our radar with the women's side. And, I mean, you're playing the same game, but I'm sure it's a bit of a different approach. Have you changed at all in terms of tactics, in terms of motivation from the women's game to the men's game?
No, not really. I mean, you have to understand it's a different group. I mean, they have a vast amount of different experiences to that women's group. It's there's a few sort of things I have to be mindful of, and but outside of that, the cultural framework, the tactical framework that we inputted around the women's program, it's very similar. You just draw on different motivational threads to bring this group, and they've got a different history as well, a completely different history, which you can use. You know, the women were sort of top seven, top eight in the world when I was involved with them. This men's team, you know, have not been near those heights yet. So it's, yeah, there are some subtle differences, but in terms of the tactical framework, the way we played against the US is the same way we played against Zimbabwe in the Olympics in 2016. So there's, you know, the tactical blueprints, we've been able to transfer some of that work over. It's been a hell of a journey, I'll tell you that. I've been learning a lot, but I think, you know, that group of men are fully committed to take this country to the next level, just as the women were.
Well, you mentioned the history of the program. I mean, we're all well aware of it. When you first took over, did you sense an inferiority complex, a sense of insecurity among this group? And if so, how do you knock that out of them?
Look, we spent 18 months on the culture, on building that culture, establishing leadership groups with clear frameworks on how they operate and what's expected of them. And then bringing people in, like, you know, colonels from the military to talk about the code of their uniform and being in service to a country. You know, all of these things have, I think, been part of the foundation that they're strong now. They trust each other. They trust me. They trust Canada Soccer. They trust each other. And when that trust's there, then people can start performing at levels they didn't think was possible. So we've laid that down, and I think that's a real critical piece to get that bit right. And like I say now, it's about the chemistry. They're them now starting to play together more frequently and knowing how to get the best out of each other.
That victory the other day really helps the cause, though, doesn't it, John? You can talk about a culture and believing in people and an organization, but once that the results start showing, that's when everything really starts kicking into overdrive, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what we wanted. We knew it. We missed an opportunity at that Gold Cup. We missed a big opportunity to get our fans excited. But seeing the tweet, and you've got 300 fans singing "All Canada" in the subway, I mean, that's what we want this country to feel like. You know, we want the fans to really enjoy their football and be proud of their national team. And, you know, you speak to the players. Daniel Henry says it the best. You know, he just wants respect for the shirt and for our players and for those young players to be able to go into Europe and, you know, be respected, and the Canadian passport to be respected as well. So, you know, a night like that, it sort of brings that. And what it'll bring now is hopefully a different level of competition when, you know, we meet the USA, that there will be that respect there. And, you know, hopefully they bring another level, which will take us to another level as well. So, yeah, look, it's an exciting time. We needed that night. We needed that moment. And there'll be more to come.
With John Herdman, head coach of the men's national team, how many of these young players have the potential to be truly impactful players?
Look, you never know with football careers. You just never know. But, you know, what I've seen is that a lot of these lads, and I talk about Derek Cornelius, Kamal Miller, you know, I want to talk about Sammy Piette, you know, Jonathan Osorio. We're all talking about Alfonso or Jonathan David, but you watch Derek Cornelius out there, 21 years of age, you know, managing that U.S. front line, you know, playing in the Bundesliga, some of those boys. And then you look at young Richie Larea, you know, he's only his third cap for Canada, and he was able to nullify Pulisic. You know, there's guys in this team, Jonathan Osorio, I mean, I have to talk about him. I mean, what a performance from Osorio in that 90th third minute to have the composure to find that pass to Cavallini. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the two big guns that are playing at big clubs in Europe, but I'm hoping that the Osorios and others get the level of respect that get them now into the highest tiers of football, that Canada now can start exporting, you know, Derek Cornelius into big leagues in the future. I mean, that's ultimately what we've got to achieve, because if you're going to compete at a World Cup in 2022, you need a minimum of 6 players playing at that tier 1 level, those top 5 leagues, top 5 teams in the world. If you don't, you won't get out your group, and that's part of our foundation for 2026. We don't want to participate there. We want to compete, and we need Canadians playing in the highest leagues around the world as often as we can.
Well, you mentioned the next two World Cups, and I wanted to get to that point where I'm sure you're hyper-focused on 2022. You're in the midst of trying to qualify for Qatar. But we all know what's coming in 2026, where there's going to be games played in Canada. You're going to be a co-host of the World Cup. How do you avoid, you know, not looking past 2022 in a way and get incredibly excited for what could be there in 2026?
Well, I think people have seen it with my squad selections. You know, I've gone towards a group of players that could be ripe in 2026. Some of the veterans in the team, I've had those tough conversations that, look, you may be 32 in the same position as a 21-year-old, but I'm probably going to give these 21-year-olds the opportunity now. I'm going to give them the chance to start building a career for 2022 and beyond. And you've seen that. I mean, my squad selections have been questioned at times. We've put young guys in positions in moments where maybe more veteran players might have been better, you know, served. But I'm very clear that, you know, I promise to put this team and this shirt down better than I found it. And, you know, you can go for those short wins, but I've got to keep one eye on the future and one eye on the now, which is to keep pushing this team forward. So, you know, to see my squad over the last 18 months, there's been a lot of teenagers getting caps, and hopefully that's what we're laying, a great foundation.
Well, it was a big statement a couple of nights ago. A lot of people throughout the country paying attention, and I'm sure that will continue to be the case next month down in Orlando. So best of luck with that match, and thanks. Moving forward, we really appreciate you doing this afternoon.
No, I appreciate it, Jensen. I appreciate you putting the attention on football. I mean, it's bloody great you're doing that, and hopefully we get another win, and you can give us another afternoon of
you got
attention.
It. You give us a win, we'll give you
a win,
full hour.
We'll grab a beer after the game, John.
There you go.
Brilliant.
All right, John, thank you.
That's right,
that's
my
it.
Man.
Bye.
There's John Herdman. We got a brilliant out of him.
It was a brilliant comment.
It was.
Brilliant.
Listening to a British guy talk about soccer is just, we established that yesterday. Like, KJ knows more about soccer than anyone I've ever come across. So he knows his stuff. He puts in his work. But he could be a complete buffoon. And he comes on and just starts talking. I'm like, this guy is
when
locked in.
When he gets
in.
Going with our man, Caldwell.
Stephen Caldwell, the best.
It's soccer porn.
The best in the business.
The best. And their man, Luke Wildman, who directs traffic.
Luke is the smoothest cat in broadcasting.
That is soccer porn.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep. Well, listen, man, he's pumping the tires. We're talking soccer here. They keep getting wins.
Brilliant.
We'll keep talking about it, man.
Brilliant.
You know? I'm feeling good. I feel like there's going to be a Dwayne Casey moment again.
Brilliant.
The voice of soccer in this country.
Brilliant.
I think it's up for grabs.
Brilliant.